morning. This is Commissioner Lesko. Do we have any other commissioners on the line?
Hi, this is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Commissioner Bennett Woods is here.
Hi. We'll just wait and see if Alice is able to join today. Marco is not. We're just going to wait a couple minutes before it starts.
Hello?
Hi. Is this Commissioner?
Yes.
All right, great. All right, we were just waiting to see if you were going to be able to join, so we'd have four. All right, we're going to go ahead. It's 10:03, so we're going to go ahead and get the meeting started. This is Commissioner Lesko. Just as a reminder, the meeting is recorded, so please mute your phones when you're not speaking for the best recording quality. Also, today we have a hard stop at 11:30 so that the OPG staff can attend a National Guardianship Association training. But, you know, I think we'll be able to wrap up the meeting by that time at any rate. So for the purposes of the minutes, do introductions. Do commissioners first. This is Commissioner West.
Commissioner Bennett Woods.
Commissioner Zinn.
Commissioner Garcia.
All right, thank you. Members of the Office of Public Guardianship and Attorney General's Office.
This is America.
Yeah, Alvarez.
With the attorney, with the Colorado Office of Public Guardianship.
Sophia Alvarez, Office of Public Guardianship.
Rhonda, Office of Public Guardianship, Guardian.
Camille Price, Guardian.
Erin McGavin, Guardian.
Good morning. This is Assistant Attorney General Debbie Enck.
Okay. Do we have any other members of the public or others who would like to introduce themselves?
Hi, this is Ann McKenzie, a guardian in Colorado Springs working at Silver Key Senior Services.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, this is Maureen Welch, member of the public.
Welcome. Anyone else?
Former State Senator Rob Hernandez. Please list my title in the minutes. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, anyone else? Okay. We'll move on to the next item in our agenda, which is the approval of the April 28th minutes. I assume the commissioners have had an opportunity to review the minutes. Do we have any changes or edits?
No. Nope.
Hearing none. All right, hearing none. I'll hear a motion to approve the minutes.
This is Commissioner Bennett Woods. I'll move to approve.
Do I have a second?
This is Commissioner Zinn. I'm going to abstain because I wasn't at the meeting.
I was just going to say the same thing. This is Commissioner Garcia.
Oh, that's right.
Well, we can't approve them with one vote, so I guess we'll have to just table that for the next meeting.
Yeah, we'll have to table that. All right, so we'll move on to the chair report. So a couple things going on. First, it is time for the annual evaluation of the director. Sophia has completed her application. She's just trying to find a way to get the information to us because she wants to include some additional documents, and she's trying to find an efficient way to deliver them all to us. So I'm not sure, Sophia, if you have any update on that. I know that one thing she attempted was a OneDrive, but I could not open it. So I'm not sure if you have any update on that, and I know you reached out to Debbie for assistance on that as well.
Yeah, this is Sophia. I think I have a way to at least get it to you and Debbie through setting up a OneDrive SharePoint with my IT person yesterday. But I haven't found a way to find one location that all commissioners can access to get the documents.
Okay. So if we go by basically the guidelines we have in the bylaws, ideally we'd like to have your evaluation done by the end of June, so we'd want to talk about it and get the HR meeting scheduled for next month. Do we have any sort of timeline or thoughts on when we'd be able to get that done? I'm certainly happy to push back the evaluation discussion for a month, but I just want to make sure commissioners have enough time to fill out their application, their evaluations.
This is Debbie. I have the ability to do a secure file share link that doesn't have a data limit on the upload size. So as soon as Sophia can get that to Kelsey and me, then I can share that immediately with the rest of the commission.
Okay. All right, so I think that the best plan moving forward, and happy to hear comments on this, is just to wait and see when we can get the drive set up and then when we can get the documents out to the commissioners, and then give the commissioners time to complete their evaluations and also time for me to be able to put all the results together.
This is Commissioner Bennett Woods. A substantial part or a section of the evaluation deals with the pilot project outcomes. I was wondering if it would be possible to have Director Alvarez and the gentleman that's helping with data collection present at the next meeting an update and kind of status report on where we are with data collection, the approach. I know there may not be a lot of data yet, but I would be interested prior to completing that section of the evaluation just to hear some detail on where we are with how we're measuring outcomes and where data is coming from and that sort of thing.
Yes, Sophia, we've been trying to get him on the agenda for several months now. Do you know if he'd be available?
Yes, actually the plan was to have him attend the June meeting to do precisely that, so that shouldn't be an issue.
Okay, thanks so much.
And I just want to be, I guess, clear. I am working this week very specifically with our IT person. So I know we have the OneDrive set up, so I should be able to get you those documents or get the documents to Chair Lesko and AG Inc. this week.
Okay, great. All right. So considering that, I'm probably considering that there would be a presentation at the meeting next month. I'm thinking that we will need to push back when the commissioners are able to get their evaluations to you. Am I hearing that right?
Commissioner Bennett Woods. I feel like I can complete most of the evaluation prior to that meeting, and there's still a few days after that meeting, correct, before you wanted the evaluations by the end of June?
Yeah, but, I mean, we would need to schedule a meeting. So last year we had it during the commission meeting, but just because it's difficult for us to get more than one meeting a month scheduled. But we can certainly try. Sorry, Deb, do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I don't. That one portion of the evaluation shouldn't stop me from getting my comments to you by the end of June. So I don't know that should necessarily hold things up. It wouldn't hold anything up from me.
Okay. Then
is going to send her evaluation in the next week or so, right? And that you wanted commission comments by the end of June. Did I not understand that?
Well, by the end of June, so generally what we do is it's for the fiscal year, so we wanted to give her the official evaluation results by the end of June. As we had done last year, what I was planning to do is just have the meeting to discuss her evaluation with her because we have to discuss it with her at the June meeting. And then I would need time because she doesn't get the individual evaluations from us. The evaluations are sent to me, and then I have to combine them into one evaluation that we give to her, so I'll need some time to do that. So I'm just thinking that it might just be easier if we have that meeting, that discussion in July.
I thought that's what you said, was that the HR meeting would be in July.
It's entirely possible. They've decided to start construction on my street behind me during this meeting, so I'm a little distracted.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's an important enough part of, we weren't able to look at that at all previously because we just haven't gotten that far with COVID and everything. And so that's an important enough piece of the evaluation that I think it warrants inclusion this time.
Yeah, I agree. And we could certainly try to schedule another meeting, but it's so difficult to do. So let's just plan for July. That'll give everyone plenty of time to get all the information completed, and hopefully we can, you know, we as commissioners can do what we can with our schedules to be present at the July meeting. But, you know, that's how volunteer work goes, though. We do our best. All right. Is there any other comments or discussion on that? Great. All right. Well, hearing none, I just want to give you a little update on the document storage. And so we, if you recall from last meeting, we need a system to be able to store commission materials in a more regular location as opposed to just being shifted from chair to chair, and AJ Inc. Holding onto some information for us. So we were looking at doing a Google Workspace, I believe it's called, and Sophia, you can, I welcome you to jump in here as well, but you were working with your IT person on that, and it doesn't look like that system is going to work. So the idea right now is to see if we can get I guess this one's called the Google Workspace for the document storage, and then use Zoom for commission meetings. So I want to give you a little bit of an update on that. I guess it would be OneDrive for document storage and then Zoom for the commission meetings. Just, you know, open that up to any questions or comments. All right. Yeah, I didn't think this would be a high point of conversation here. I think one thing that the commission should think about it.
This is Commissioner.
Please go ahead.
Oh, this Commissioner Zinn, I was just waiting to ask what you planned to house there.
Just sort of the commission documents, like our policies and procedures and things like that.
Okay.
We just need a permanent location.
Understood.
I actually don't. We need anything that's required by the record retention policy of the commissioners.
Correct.
Not all of which is necessarily something that we would have publicly posted on the website, but that is, that falls into our record retention policy, needs to be there.
Correct. One thing that the commission should think about is the use of Zoom. It looks like that's going to cost about $150 a year, which you know, I think is a reasonable expense. We had talked about Zoom at the beginning of the pandemic, and for the purposes of fiscal restraint, we did not get a Zoom membership and just held the meetings by phone. So I'm not sure if the commission's opinion on that has changed. I can say that, you know, as during the rest of my term as chair, I do not anticipate requesting an in-person meeting. Based on what I'm seeing right now, the earliest that would be safe to do would be September. And, you know, I think that to a large extent, being having, you know, remote meetings has made it more accessible for a lot of people and commissioners to attend. So I'm not sure if you have any thoughts on whether or not we should get Zoom.
This is Commissioner Garcia, and I think that's a great idea, especially for me. I'm in Pueblo, so the opportunity to attend via Zoom would be a great benefit for me.
I would also support that. I just think the meetings, if we can't meet face-to-face, it's just easier to hold a meeting with some visual connection attached to it. So,
mm-hmm.
And that seems like a reasonable business expense to do that.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I do want to just double check and make sure that the Zoom link can be made, will be made available and open to the public. And I believe there would also still be a call-in number as well.
Excuse me? Hello, this is a point of clarification for Maureen Welch, mm-hmm. member of the public. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask a question about ADA accessibility and have that be considered because currently this phone is not ADA. This phone call we're on today is not ADA compliant because there's no closed captioning available. So I would encourage the commission to also look at the accessibility functions on a Zoom platform. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. All right, do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, just in the interest of making sure that the meeting ends on time, I'm going to move on to the next item on our agenda, which is the director report. Ms. Alvarez?
Thank you. I just have a few updates from the report that was provided. An update regarding the hiring of a new public guardian, that position was posted, and it should be open until June 18th. We've posted it on our website as well as Judicial HR has posted it on their careers website. And I believe if we haven't yet already, we will send that out to stakeholders and our OPG communications group. We have had a few applications so far. I don't have any I don't have any updates regarding the post-appointment information other than what's already in the report. I didn't know if any of the commission had questions regarding contracting or doing an MOU for our, and also looking into getting a contract attorney for petitions and post-appointment motions.
I'm not hearing any questions, so move on.
Perfect. Okay. Moving on, bottom of page 3, number 2, the stakeholder engagement plan. As an update, America, our staff assistant, and I work on creating a draft of stakeholder advisory panel criteria, and then that caused us to update our application and cover letter for that process. So that information was sent to Chair Lesko and Assistant Attorney General Inc. Yesterday for their review, and then once they reviewed that, we've made any edits as needed. That will be available at the June meeting for all commissioners to review. My goal is to hopefully get that out before the end of the summer so that by this fall we can hopefully have some starting members of the stakeholder advisory panel.
Great, thank you, and I will look over that.
Thank you. And moving down to the top of page 4, number 3, most, if not just about all of our policies have now been posted on the OPG website. It's the page, the OPG in-depth page, near the bottom of that page. Some of the policies that are not complete, such as the Internal Ethics Committee, and I believe the complaint process, because we're discussing those today, there's just a holder for those on the website so that we could still get all the rest of the policies up. And we will still be posting, need to post MOUs, the audit letters, and I had a question as to whether I should also post the director personnel policies that the commission has come up with.
This is Debbie. That'll be included in the entire sort of collection of commission policies that I'm working on.
Thank you. So once that's completed, you'll let me know which ones I need to post on the website?
I will.
Perfect. Thank you. So that I can do a couple more updates before we come back and circle around to the Internal Ethics Committee and complaint process discussion. The only updates really that I have go down to page 6, our intake eligibility, section F. As of today, we have 51 active guardianships. We have 20 referrals pending in court proceedings. We have 4 partial or incomplete referrals that we're waiting for more information on. We've had 6 clients total pass away since our appointment, and all of those have been non-COVID related. And we have a few more declined streamline referrals from Arapahoe County. We now have 9. And Weld County, there's now 5 streamline referrals from them. And those are all my updates to the report that was put out last week.
All right. Would you like to go into the individual items?
Yes. We had started a discussion regarding the Internal Ethics Committee last month. We kept it on the agenda because we were hoping to have Commissioner Chayette and Commissioner Zinn available to discuss that. I don't know how we would like to proceed with that.
And I apologize, this is Commissioner Zinn, that I still haven't provided my feedback. It is on my radar, but I have not gotten there yet. And I still do have comments and concerns about the way that this is drafted. And mostly my concerns are that these things are covered by the statutory scheme already. And I don't think that we should draft around that and further restrict the guardian. And what, you know, how they go about their decision making and that sort of thing. However, I do appreciate that you are trying to, I guess, codify an internal decision making process when the situation is complicated or extreme. I just don't want the guardians of the OPG to be limited, as each case is very different, and the guardian is entitled to consult with whoever they need to get whatever information they need in order to make the decision for the ward. So that's kind of my general concern about this. And I believe 2 meetings ago, Mr. Chayette kind of expressed the same thing. I just don't have any written changes to provide today, but I can give myself a deadline to get that to you.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Lesko. I would just suggest that we table this again for July so that we can, you know, see the written comments, and hopefully Commissioner Chayette would be able to speak to this as well.
And Sophia, thank you for providing the Word version to make it easier for me to provide my comments. I do have that, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Would that work for you, Sophia? It's just, you know, when you get into the sort of statutory scheme, you know, I like to be able to review before commenting.
Yes, that's fine. We can keep it on the agenda. Do you need me to provide any additional information before then?
Not to me, Commissioner Zinn.
I don't think so. And if I have a question, I can let you know. But hopefully my comments can be helpful or at least guide us in the right direction.
That would be great. Thank you. Any comments from other commissioners?
Nope.
All right. Then, Sophia, we'll move on to the complaint process discussion.
Thank you. So we we've kind of updated our complaint process. The office had to come up with a system by statute to track complaints against the office. And then the commission is tracking complaints against the director. And so we're kind of trying to update those processes. Initially, when I started the policies for complaints against the office, it was there were forms created, and the process was we wouldn't accept phone complaints. It had to be a written complaint of some sort. And there had been just some questions about trying to allow other formats for complaints. And so I was hoping we would just have a discussion, and I think there were some questions by the commission as well, whether we should consider phone complaints and how that would actually look for both processes, the office complaints and director complaints. And then I did look at the Office of the Child Representative and provided a link. They have, you know, an electronic option, which we could potentially set up. That would just be an additional expense, having our case management system company who's helped us with the website and everything, establish that. I don't have a quote on that, how much that would be, but I can certainly get one if that's something we want to consider.
All right. Sophia, just on that point, can you sort of explain how would this complaint be filled out, if not electronically? Would people be needing to come into the office and get the form, or would it be emailed to them and then they fill it out and mail it? What would it look like?
So right now it's available on the website, so someone could print it and fill it out and mail it in or drop it off at the office. We could probably also allow them to fax it. Right now if someone needs a form and they don't have internet access, we can or go on and print the form. We can mail the form to them or we can email the form to them.
And they'd have to write it up and email, scan it and email it or mail it back, as opposed to just a link where they can just do it all on the website.
Correct.
I think if it's not, this is Commissioner Bennett Woods, if it's not cost prohibitive, I like the idea of having a the ability to complete it online and not have to worry about the extra steps of scanning and emailing and that sort of thing. If there's a direct link where somebody can have that option, I think that would be ideal if it's not cost prohibitive to get that set up.
Yeah, this is Kelsey. I would agree with that, that if it's not cost prohibitive, it can be difficult to get to, you know, a scanner or a fax. So makes sense to me.
It also prevents, I mean, it provides a direct storage option and less likelihood of loss of the document. So, again, I would strongly encourage that be developed.
So, I'm just wondering, looking at the complaint process and forms themselves, I just kind of have a couple, questions and things I don't even know are, you know, good or bad ideas, just sort of questions for discussion. First, like within the complaint itself, what will happen if someone just says, I don't have time to fill out a complaint? Like it's not an ADA issue. They're just like, I don't have time to fill a complaint, but, you know, they call the office and are like, this is a problem. what will be handled happen in those circumstances? Will that not count as a complaint against the office?
I mean, in most other agencies, government agencies especially, there's the formal complaint process and everyone needs to go through it unless obviously they need a special accommodation. But if someone just doesn't feel like or doesn't have the time, you know, I don't think that rises to the level of a formal complaint. And certainly if we're made aware of that, we can you know, take notice of it and take any action we deem appropriate. But
yeah,
otherwise, what's the point of having the process, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm wondering is, like, what will be the, you know, is there anything to assure that the commission is made aware of that?
I agree that a formal complaint rises is a level that requires someone to take the time to document their concerns. Otherwise, if there's simply something that perhaps needs a communication that needs to be straightened out or something, I wouldn't say that that rises to the level of a complaint. If someone has a formal complaint, they should be able to make the time. As long as we've provided a process that's accessible to them, then they should be able to document that appropriately so that it, in fact, rises to the level of a formal complaint.
Okay. I guess a better way to say it is there are complaints and there are formal complaints. This is a formal complaint process, but what about a complaint? Like, will that be given any sort of weight? Just because I've worked with populations where they, for whatever reason, will not fill out a form. But there still is, you know, quality assurance in an office that can control a lot of aspects of people's lives and decision makings. I'm just wondering if we should have another process there to alert the commission to problems outside of the formal complaint process.
I mean, I think we have our process. I don't know that we want to overcomplicate it. I think if someone really wants the commission to be aware of a complaint, they'll go through the process just like any other entity. And then if they decide to make a complaint outside that process, then they run the risk of, you know, what information we learn about, where it comes from, you know, how much is relayed. I mean, there's only so much we can do. We need to focus on making sure the commission run smoothly, making sure that OPG is doing their job, and, you know, otherwise, you know, that's kind of how I feel about it. You want us to know about it, follow the process. If, you know, if not, then we may get some or part of the information or none of it at all, and that's kind of the risk you run if you don't go through the channels that we've set up.
Kelsey, this is Commissioner Bennett-Woods. Can I just clarify? That what you're asking about is not so much the word complaint. If we keep that formal, you seem to be talking about concerns that individual clients may have about services they're receiving, or their guardians. Wouldn't that already, if Sophia were to get a concern expressed by a client or the representative or a representative of the client about something that's going on, wouldn't that already be documented via personnel notes and that sort of thing if she needs to intervene or respond to some sort of disagreement or issue between a client and guardian?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, I guess I was taking your comments, Kelsey, to mean that you're talking about any complaint from anywhere outside of the formal complaint process.
Well, I mean, I don't know. This is just something that it raised to me because when I did run similar programs that dealt in abuse and neglect. The most serious complaints that I got were from people who would not go through the formal complaint process.
Understood. Well, I mean, again, I'm happy to, if they come in to Sophia or to one of us, you know, maybe there should be, we should have a policy that any complaints or anything that could be construed as a complaint be brought before the commission. And then the information that were provided through that informal process, I think at that point the commission can choose to investigate further, request information. I mean, I think we should have the latitude to do what we want with that information. But because that person's not going through the formal process and they essentially kind of leave it to our discretion about how much or how little we want to do with it based on the information provided to us.
But not the, most of the complaints don't come to the commission per se. That's not what you mean, is it?
Well, I'm saying, Deb, I'm saying wherever they come from, whether it comes to me or you or Sophia, whatever,
no,
it should be brought to the whole commission.
No, that's not how it, that's not how this is written. Most complaints are, unless they're about the director, are going to the director to be resolved by the director.
No, we're talking about what's not in the policy, something that's not a formal complaint.
Right. But if there are concerns expressed to the director about services being being delivered or a relationship with a guardian or something like that, those are not coming to the commission. They're coming to, however they come in, those are being handled by the director, not by the commission.
Right. Well, I think that Kelsey is asking if they should come to the commission and should we be made aware of it? If so, what do we do about it? I think that's the question. Because it's not going through a normal complaint channel.
Sophia, how would you handle a phone call like what I'm describing?
Yes. So if I get something that is not a formal complaint process, when I talk with someone about a concern, it is documented. It's documented in Salesforce or documented in an employee's file. I do advise them to file a formal complaint, follow that process. But if they don't, I still assess and handle it and do what needs to be done on my end. Does that
right.
help?
Yeah, and I feel like that operationally, that makes sense to me. And I don't feel the need to have further. If Sophia were not following up on those things, then I assume we'd get a formal complaint about the director, and then the commission would need to investigate to see if there's a pattern of not responding. But I, just from a practical day-to-day standpoint, concerns expressed to the director should be handled by the director and should be documented accordingly in HR files or whatever's appropriate for the nature of the concern.
I guess that's what I understood Kelsey's question to be, so I'll defer to her if that answers her question or not.
Well, yes or no. And again, I don't know that, you know, I have, that this is a good idea. This is something that we should be doing, just something for discussion. I guess the issue with being on a commission and having an oversight role is first that, in some ways, the director is conflicted, because if she receives a complaint that the office is doing a bad job, it's not in her professional interest to tell us necessarily. And because there's a commission that is an oversight body, I'm wondering if that is something that we should be giving more thought to. Just because the stakes of guardianship can be so high. So that's a concern. Sophia, I would also want to know if that process, is formalized that you laid out? Is that in writing? I believe it is, but I could be wrong about that. So, and then to say that, well, if the director's not following up, we're going to get a formal complaint, you know, logically that makes sense. But just in my experience, as an abuse neglect investigator, as a program manager, people don't necessarily follow up. And that's how systemic issues build and morph and get worse. So this may be something that we can do. It may not be something that is appropriate to do. I honestly don't know. Just a concern that I had when I was reading through the complaint process, but just wanted to bring up.
So how would you, I understand what you're saying. How would you, or how have the agencies, you said you've dealt with this before, how have other agencies handled that? I mean, I'm comfortable with processes similar to, for example, the Office of the Child Representative that are established, they're in place, they're tested. I don't feel a need to reinvent the wheel for that. If there's a best practice for this, then I think we should be following that. But I don't necessarily think we should be inventing it.
No, well, I would say that I guess the difference that I'm seeing from the Office of the Child Representative is the Office of the Child Representative, you know, they essentially do investigations and make policy recommendations based on things that have already happened. They don't really provide the same type of direct client services that an Office of Public Guardianship would. So I guess that's one reason why I was like, this is quite right for us. It may be. What we're doing may be the only thing we can do. I would just think that in, you know, if complaints do come in, perhaps Sophia should just be alerting us at some point that we've had complaint related to this. But, I mean, we're also running the, you know, the tightrope of, well, is this micromanagement or is this appropriate oversight? And again, I don't know.
This is Debbie. I just have a question. Would it not be possible for somebody to help that population of individuals fill out the form? Or is it an aversion to having it in writing at all?
I would imagine it's an aversion to having it in writing or someone not wanting to take the time or someone wanting to report anonymously due to the sensitivity of the issue. Is that right, Kelsey?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, also put within that a lot of populations who have experienced abuse and continue to experience abuse do have trauma, which makes the filing of anything incredibly difficult.
Yeah, okay.
It's a tricky problem that a lot of organizations have. So, I mean, I don't expect a resolution. I think I just wanted to, I guess, bring this to the awareness of the commission.
Well, I appreciate that. Again, I would go back to there must be some sort of best practice around that, and that's what we should be doing. But I don't know. I personally don't know what that is. So I don't really have any, I don't think I have any suggestions.
The problem is going to be, as I see it, is if we do get a complaint and it's from someone who wants to remain anonymous and that sort of thing, if it becomes something we have to pursue or investigate further and all of a sudden, you know, they don't want to cooperate because they don't want to become known, et cetera, then you know, our hands become tied.
Yeah, they do. But, I mean, at least you know the issue had existed. So it's something that you can, you know, watch for or take preemptive action on. But, yeah, it's just tricky. You know, I can talk to some other people about this, see if there's a best practice related to it.
This is Commissioner Garcia. I just wanted to chime in. As someone who has to file complaints on behalf of other people,
healthcare policy, finance, Department of Health and Environment, for example, they have online complaint forms. And you can file anonymously if the person doesn't want to give their name, just to show that, you know, there's a systemic issue or a pattern of this behavior or whatever the complaint is about. So there are examples out there. And then just thinking about it in my world, because I do have a guardianship program, the levels of complaints that come in can be very low-level complaints, complaints about staff. If it's a policy complaint, obviously that's going to go to my board. Or if I need to change policy or practices, I'll report that to the board. And it can all go all the way up to it lands in the courts. Because there's dispute with a ward or a ward feels that they no longer need a guardian and will request a GAL, new evaluations. So there's so many different levels of complaints that, you know, I've seen over the years. I just wanted to offer, you know, those as examples.
Great. Thank you.
So do you have, given that, have you had an opportunity to look through these materials? Do you see anything from your experience then, Commissioner Garcia, that we should be thinking about differently?
Well, and because I'm so new on this commission, I can't give a intelligent response to that, and then just historically the number of complaints that have come through, I don't have that information to give you a good opinion on that. I just know that, if it's a staff complaint, then, you know, the director should handle that and maybe give an update as appropriate, because it's a personnel matter, but I think that somebody was passionate enough and that they would be able to access the commission and let us know that there's a problem within the office.
All right. Well, I will, you know, that's just my concern. I will just think about it, think about Commissioner Garcia's comments and her experience. And, you know, if I can follow up with the commission. I don't think that we can solve this problem or even know how to solve it today. Are there any other discussion on the complaint forms? So, Sophia, do you have anything else, or what other action would you like us to take today?
I have nothing further.
Okay.
Can I just clarify? I mean, if anything, I'm more concerned if there's not actually a complaint process that's currently active, that we do have a complaint process that's currently active and accessible, right?
Yes. Excuse me. This is Sophia. Yes, it's been available for several months now.
That's what I thought. Okay. So this is what we're looking at is possibly expanding or altering the current process, but there is a process in place that is currently accessible, and you are going to look into perhaps a direct submission online option.
Yes, correct.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Do we so what is the next step with this, Sophia? Do you plan to post this information? Are you going to follow up with the contractor on the e-link?
Yes, excuse me. So, yes, I'm following up regarding an electronic option so that I can hopefully get a quote back to the commission. If not via email, I can do that at the next meeting. Everything is already posted on the website, and it's basically what was included in the materials today. So if we go back and change anything, we can update our processes later to reflect those changes.
Okay, great. So should we just move on to the final agenda item? I'm just trying to be mindful of the time. All right. So the last item on our agenda is public comment. Do we have any comments from members of the public?
Yes, this is Maureen Wells.
Mm-hmm. Please go ahead, Ms. Wells.
Thank you. My name is Maureen Welch, and I live in Arapahoe County. Most of you know me. I've met Commissioner Stephanie Garcia in the past, but I haven't met her in this capacity, so welcome aboard. Just wanted to make a comment on a couple of things. I happened to go to the Disability Law website between the last meeting and this meeting, and I noticed that Commissioner Kelsey Lesko's profile was down on the website, so I contacted Director Alvarez just to say, hey, what's going on? You know, what's her job? And I got a response that it would be updated on the website to her new bio. And that's where I found out that Commissioner Lesko is now actually an employee of the State Department of Law, and that she is serving in capacity that, in my opinion, raises a lot of question marks to me about a conflict of interest. And I was unable to find anything in any records if the commission had reviewed this new employment of Commissioner Lesko's as a potential conflict of interest, since she's working as a state employee within a legal capacity. So that's one of my questions. And then my other question is one that I kind of want to just plant a seed to water for the commissioners to, the commissioners to consider. Every meeting that we meet, we hear about a new death count, almost like the COVID count. We have the OPG count, and currently the OPG death count is 6. And I don't hear a lot of talk or concern or questions or inquiry from the commission about the causes of these deaths. And I know that we have things like HIPAA, but we don't have to reveal identities, but we could give a general idea of cause of death. This is concerning to me. I had a legislator inquire. She had heard from another constituent, not Maureen Welch, about deaths happening as wards of the State of Colorado's Office of Public Guardianship. And I think that there needs to be some empathy, some review, some consideration of these victims who passed away, and we have no idea how they passed away or why. I think this could be a potential really bad optic for the commission and something that should be considered. And then my last comment is, or actually I have two more comments. One is about the complaint process. It seems like it's on the agenda every month. I went to the website just now, and I know there's been a couple of revamps or redesigns or reorganizations, but as a member of the public, I was unable to easily find the complaint process. And in the past versions of the website, I was able to identify or locate, I should say. I was able to locate the complaint process on Guardians, but there was not a complaint process posted on complaints about the director. So I think that maybe there needs to be a little objective look at the website and ask, is this clearly easily identifiable and findable? Because we are dealing with an at-risk population of people with diminished capacity, and IDD and other medical things that make it hard to navigate a website. So in my opinion, it should be very easy to find forefront on the website for both the commission and for the Office of Public Guardianship. And specifically about the complaints, I would really encourage the commission and the office to look at what a lot of other entities do. I do know that there are local municipalities who contract with an outside party to handle their complaints because of all these concerns that you were discussing today. You know, conflict of interest, concern about privacy, not wanting to divulge their name. So there are actual places that do this for a contract amount that protect and create a firewall. Right now there's no firewall. If people are calling the supervisor, Director Alvarez, for a complaint on one of her employees, there's not a lot of firewall there, and I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned about the firewall between the commission and Director Alvarez. There's not a lot of protection there from an outside objectivity perspective. Also, considerations of ADA. Most people with intellectual and developmental disabilities have challenges with literacy in reading, in writing, and giving a verbal complaint is an accommodation for them. So we also need to look at this through the eyes of the ADA and being flexible. And also, what if someone's first language is not English? They may need to support with communication, translation services. Those things can be easily provided by one of these professional third parties. I don't have any of their names handy, but most municipalities use a third party for complaint process. And then my final and last comment is regarding the contract that the Office of Public Guardianship has with the Colorado Fund for People with Disabilities. I'll say that again because it's a mouthful. The Colorado Fund for People with Disabilities, also known as CFPD in the title disability community that we're in, I received an email from them that they had a security breach, and I'm signed up for several of their different notices as a stakeholder, and they were informing me not to answer any emails because they had a security breach. So my question is you know, what kind of requirements are in place for the Office of Public Guardianship when they're contracting with someone that has now publicly divulged to the entire world, put out the bat signal through the email that they had a security breach? So I'm concerned about that too, for the sake of these wards who you are allowing Colorado Fund for People with Disabilities to manage their assets. So those are my comments. I know that's quite a bit to cover. Again, this is a one-directional comment, which is disappointing. I'm wondering, you know, how we might engage on some of these, either through email, at a future meeting, on an agenda. But I think that they're all very valid. And I don't know when the decision, or if the commission even considered the conflict of interest potential between Commissioner Lesko and her new job. But I'd like some feedback on that, because was there consideration to, did you take it to the Attorney General? Did the Attorney General, like, review it? Did it go to the Independent Ethics Commission like you did before when you were accepting lobbying services? What level of scrutiny for compliance did the commission go through with this new role? And congratulations, Commissioner Lesko. That's quite a good thing that you're overlooking the student loans and whether they're in compliance. So thank you so much, and I hope you all have a good Memorial Day weekend, and somehow, I don't know how, I'd like to get some feedback on my comments. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Welsh. Well, first, again, I would encourage you to email the commission web email address, and if you want further dialogue on this, we simply don't have time at most commission meetings, and the commission meetings are a time for the commission to do commission business. It's not a Q&A session. We don't have the capacity to do that. Perhaps you could spell out for me the conflict of interest you're concerned about?
I'm sorry, was that a question for me?
Yes. What is the conflict of interest you're concerned about?
Well, I was wondering if the commission had considered that as a you know, gone through that. It's hard for me to, I didn't have access to the minutes because you haven't approved them yet for the last meeting. So was that something that you all discussed in your meetings or not? When you received your new appointment working for the state Department of Law, did the commission say, when we need to consider this as a potential conflict of interest? I don't know if it was considered.
No, I discussed it with AG Inc. I also went through appropriate channels within the state to get approval to remain on the commission.
Okay, and are those...
There is no conflict of interest that has been identified. The commission membership is a volunteer position that is separate from our employment.
Okay, so it wasn't actually reviewed like in a commission meeting or a public-facing event. That was all done internally that I'm unable to see.
Yes, because it's unrelated to the commission business.
Okay. Well, maybe the other commissioners want to think about whether they have concerns, and because I'd like to get some feedback on that. Thank you.
Yeah, commissioners, please feel free we can put this on as agenda item if other commissioners have concerns. I have changed my employment. I am in a non-attorney position within the Department of Law, where I am forming a student loan ombudsman program and overseeing the regulation of student loan servicers.
Thank you. I have no objection and don't see an issue to that. This is Commissioner Zinn.
This is Commissioner Garcia. I don't see have any other questions.
This is Commissioner Bennett Woods. I don't see a conflict.
Okay. All right, well, if anything comes up, let me know. I'd be happy to discuss further. Again, I did my due diligence when changing positions and determined to remain on the commission because this is an issue that I care about. It's also difficult to find an attorney with state and federal program management experience, disability advocacy experience, and civil rights litigation experience to fill my seat because I was appointed to the commission for a very specific purpose and to bring a very specific view that I still think is valid.
Thank you, Commissioner. And a death issue is actually more concerning to me than anything, so I don't know if there's a way to get more discussion around that.
Yes. Ms. Welsh, and I understand your concerns there. What I can tell you is that if you don't think that this affects the people in the Office of Public Guardianship and associated with it, you're wrong. It affects them very deeply, but we do deal with people who are in many
cases. Yeah, you know what? I didn't say that. I'd like to interrupt there for a point of clarification. I never said anything like that. That is an insinuation that is not based in fact. I'm just asking for some public transparency around the cause of death. Because this is a publicly funded office. So I don't appreciate thoughts being put into my voice because they weren't there.
Well, you said we should show some empathy in your comments. So let me just tell you that we care if that's not clear. We care very much, but we do deal with some individuals who are at end of life. So I don't know. We have HIPAA rules. I will discuss it with AG Inc., but I do not know exactly what we can say about individual cases.
And I think the empathy comment was more in regards to the lack of information coming from the commission on these deaths and how it's making the community feel that this office is not really responding to those deaths.
This is Commissioner Garcia, and I can tell you that this is the toughest part of this job is dealing with end of life. And I also know that we would be required to report to the courts the death and ask for termination of the guardianship. So there is just systemic accountability built into the guardianship system through the probate courts.
Right, but all those records are suppressed, as you well know, Commissioner Garcia. So from a public perspective, that doesn't help the overall trust and communication between the Office of Public Guardianship and the public. So I totally understand, and I've had a loved one my father died from dementia, and I understand how challenging it is.
All right. Well, this way, I would discuss with AJ Inc. Your concerns, but you know, similar to the probate court, there really isn't much that we can say, and you know, I'm not sure how we can resolve your concerns about transparency. But I will discuss it with and see if we can find any solution. And also, just as a final point, I will look at the website and double-check the accessibility of the complaint process on the website. I've gone on there before and found it easy, but I will look with a different perspective and see if I think it's difficult to find. Do any other commissioners have any other comments? Hearing none. Ms. Welsh, is there anything else that you would like to address right now that we can do, discuss quickly? Because I can't recall all of your comments.
The other ones were just about the complaint process and having the considering a third party. And then I don't know if there's other members of the public that want to comment too. So thank you.
Yes, and I will say all complaints that we get that request ADA accommodations would be provided ADA accommodations within accordance to the law.
Right, but taking an oral complaint that was mentioned, you know, as not, you know, whether it proceeds to a written, all that, that kind of impacted that discussion that you all had, so.
Yeah, and that would be, you know, if the only accommodation available for someone to file a written complaint is orally, that would be an accommodation that would be provided for the ADA. All right, are there any other members of the public who would like to comment?
Yes, hi, this is Ann McKenzie, guardian at Silver Key Senior Services in Colorado Springs, and I just wanted to again say thank you to Director Alvarez and Grant Yoder, who is a part of the Office of Public Guardianship, as we're working on gathering survey data as far as the need for guardianship here in the Pikes Peak region, and just looking forward to continuing that process. And then also just wanted to say I was looking at the website and easily found under feedback the complaint process within just a few seconds. So I guess I didn't quite have any difficulty finding that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public that would like to comment?
This is Jim Tatton.
Please go ahead, Mr. Tatton.
I'd like to mention Google Meetings. Over the past week, I've participated in about 5, 6, maybe 7 Google Meetings that were hosted by Colorado state agencies. And I found Google Meetings to be very accommodating in terms of, you know, the schedule, the conduct, all that kind of stuff. I could see people, I could hear, I could get access to the materials, the agenda, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if you could reach out to one of the state agencies and see if that's a simple, easy way to conduct public gatherings, because I think it really is important. Participation, interest, I think has increased significantly over the past year. And it makes it much more easier for individuals, families, and members of certain communities, especially in rural areas, to participate in the work of, you know, state committees and state agencies and all that kind of stuff. And as I listened to some of the discussions, one of the things that I often ask myself is if I was a commission member and a reporter came up to me and asked the reporter questions, who, what, where, when, why, and how, as the commissioner, would I be able to answer those questions? And as I listen to the discussions, I often ask myself, you know, can I answer those questions on behalf of the commission? And oftentimes I can't. So that's kind of one of the, you know, thoughts I've had as a member of the public. And I understand that essentially what we're trying to do is apply and implement statutory language. And that can be difficult, but I think the nature and the scope of the statute are such that it really, really is very important to individuals and families that the work be done well and in accordance with the direction of the legislature. So that's kind of one of the things that at the end of the day, I'll think, you know, I participated in this meeting. Can I ask and answer those questions myself? Who, what, where, when, why, and how? So as you move forward, maybe it'd be helpful for the commission to and the commission staff to think about that kind of stuff. You know, if somebody were to knock on the door and say, hey, I'm a reporter at the Gazette, and I want to know more about the work of the commission. Do we have readily available answers to those questions, those reporter questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, have any comments or questions for Mr. Patton? All right, hearing none, is there any other members of the public who would like to comment? Not hearing anyone else, so that concludes public comment, which is our last item on the agenda. I will now hear a motion to adjourn.
This is Commissioner Bennett Woods. I move to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
Commissioner Garcia, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone. See you next time.